I'm glad you are all able to join me here today to celebrate the great work we've done for the scientific community. And to hear about what the future may bring. Before I make my big announcement, I'd like to acknowledge a few individuals who've helped bring me to this moment. First, my lovely fiancé, Celia. You are my light. When I met you at that sweet little cafe in Paris last year, I did not know that something was missing from my life. How wrong I was. Your youth and energy have been a balm to my soul. When we marry next month, everything I own will be yours. And I would have it no other way. I love you, darling. And speaking of family, I must also thank my nephew, Jack. It is because you are such a disappointment to me, Jack, that I've had to work twice as hard to be successful. And that commitment to my studies has made me what I am today, so I do thank you. Oh, Jack, I thought you might have inherited the intellect and academic curiosity that the Waterstone family is known for. But instead, it's clear that it is only the family weaknesses that have been handed down to you. And don't think your personal motives are a mystery to me, Jack. I see you for who you are. If you want my money, you must earn it. My fortune will not be handed down to you any longer. But I digress. Finally, to my business partner, Samantha. We started out with nothing. But then our first big discovery shook the scientific community, and we were overnight successes. You stuck by me over the years, through the resulting highs and lows. It is only recently that I have realized that I am responsible for the business successes, and you have been the main architect of our failures. While I value you greatly as a friend, I'm afraid you cannot be a part of this new enterprise. This may feel like a harsh decision now, but I know you will understand in time. I cannot risk it. We both know it is too important. As for the rest of you here today, I know that I can count on your on your continued help.
Everyone, please remain in your seats. I am a detective.
Not just any detective. This is Sherlock Holmes.
And this is my associate, Dr. John Watson. Quickly, we must examine the woman before it is too late. It is as I feared. She is dead. Watson, smell her drink.
Unusual.
I fear her death is not due to natural causes. Watson, if you will perform an examination of Miss Waterstone's body?
Of course.
It is a lucky coincidence that I am here. Or perhaps not so much of a coincidence, as it is my habit to attend any and all scientific lectures, speeches, announcements, conferences, and so forth. I feel it is my duty to stay up to date on the latest scientific advancements, because the information shared often aids me in my chosen career as a consulting detective. However, it is a first that my presence here may so directly aid the scientific community. Miss Waterstone's killer has made one fatal mistake already. To commit a murder under the very nose of Sherlock Holmes. I shall catch this killer, and I will do it before Scotland Yard arrives.
I have finished examining the body. She was otherwise in good health, and I can only conclude that Miss Waterstone has been poisoned.
Exactly as I suspected. I shall test the glass she was drinking from myself. Please send for Mrs. Hudson and have her bring my equipment bag at once.
Consider it done. But, Sherlock.
Yes?
While examining the body, I found something. I took the liberty of removing this paper clutched in Miss Waterstone's hand.
Yes, this is very telling, Watson. I believe we can narrow our field of suspects to three. The nephew, Jack Waterstone.
Yes, of course.
Mrs. Blackwell, Miss Waterstone's business partner.
Former business partner.
Exactly, Watson. And finally, Miss Celia Vaines, the fiancée.
Indeed.
Are they out there? Yes. If you three could just come with me, I will take you into a separate room for questioning. There. Watson, I will interrogate our three suspects one at a time while you question the staff. If I am to solve this before Scotland Yard arrives, time is of the essence. You were all witnesses to this unfortunate murder, and I will require your help. I would like you to examine the note found on Miss Waterstone's person. Examine it closely. Examine our suspects closely. This could be the clue to the identity of our murderer. And it could also contain a clue as to who I should interview first. At this time, please open Evidence A. Thank you for your help. I have observed that the sketch on this note greatly resembles the lapel pin worn by Mr. Jack Waterstone. The best course of action will be to question the nephew first. Please state your full name and relationship to Miss Waterstone.
Jack Waterstone. She's my dear auntie, but didn't you know that already?
Did the two of you get along?
Ha! You heard her out there. I've always been a disappointment to the old bird. She's just waiting for an excuse to cut me out.
How have you disappointed her?
She wanted to bring me into the family business. Two generations of scholars, leading the way of scientific advancement. Ugh, how dull.
She said you hadn't the intellect to take over the business.
Auntie Amelia has held that line ever since I was kicked out of Cambridge. I didn't flunk out, mind you. I have intellect plenty. I just didn't want to use it in such a conventional way.
Your tie pin is from the Cambridge crest, is it not? The Royal Lion?
That's right.
You still hold allegiance to a school that expelled you? Why?
I suppose because it's a family tradition. My aunt teaches at the women's school there, you know. Real boring stuff. Enlightening the minds of young women with chemical compounds and formulaic blah blah blah.
Your aunt was getting married soon.
The joke of the century. Celia is half her age. Ridiculous. You hear about men going daffy in their old age, but it happens with women, too. About a year ago, my aunt got some bee in her bonnet and snapped. She cut her hair short, learned how to dance the foxtrot, and spent the summer frequenting cafes in Paris at her age. What a hoot! That's where she met our own little gold digger.
You're speaking of Celia?
Who else? Celia is a grifter, and once she's married to Auntie Amelia, she'll be next in line to inherit the Waterstone fortune.
And who stands to inherit now?
I am the only Waterstone here, Detective. It is my family and my money, and I know what you're thinking. That's a real motive to murder my aunt. I won't deny it. But I don't need money so badly that I'd commit murder for it. She would have eventually snapped out of it and kicked Celia to the curb. A divorce is not hard to get, especially if you're wealthy.
So you are just biding your time.
I have found that most things work out in the end, if you have patience.
What were you doing earlier this evening?
Are you asking if I was lurking around Auntie's glass with a vial of poison?
Something like that.
I hate to disappoint you, but I was with Celia for most of the evening. We shared a cab here, we were seated at the same table, so unless we poisoned her together, I think I'm in the clear.
Did you see anything suspicious this evening?
Other than the murder?
What about anyone who was not supposed to be here? Any anxious guests?
I saw no one who wasn't invited, and they all seemed perfectly at ease.
Thank you. You may go. Very telling, Watson. A singularly unremorseful individual. And how about you, Watson? Have you finished interviewing the staff? Did you discover anything useful?
I've taken careful notes of everything they've told me, and I've copied them out so that everyone may take a look.
Very helpful. Once again, I must ask for the help of our guests. Examine this next clue. I am confident that it contains many useful observations which will help us catch this killer, and also determine who should be my next interviewee. You may now open Evidence B. It seems clear to me that I should speak to Celia Vaines next.
And why is that, Holmes?
The unusual capitalizations in these interview notes revealed her identity to me.
Indeed. I don't even remember doing that.
I am sorry for your loss, Miss Vaines.
Thank you, Mr. Holmes. It's been quite a shock.
And I'm sorry that I must ask you these questions now, but it is imperative that we find who committed this crime, and as soon as possible.
I understand.
You met Miss Waterstone in France?
I know that it may seem silly, Amelia and I together, but it was fate. I remember the first time I saw her. She was looking sternly around the cafe, her hat perched at an impossibly unfashionable angle on her head, her gloves covered in soot, and her hair escaping the long braid that hung over her shoulder just like a schoolgirl. And yet, at the same time, there was something so much of the woman about her. Her mind was first class. Amelia had a vigour, a zest for life, Mr. Holmes. She won every argument, every debate, and how she relished her victories.
Would she argue with you?
Yes, but it isn't what you are thinking. Amelia and I never quarrelled. Her debates were intellectual. She was excited to be with a woman who could challenge her mind.
And you could?
I'm not just a cafe waitress. I am educated. I might not have graduated from university, but I did attend for a time. And I left of my own reasons, unlike her nephew, Jack.
What do you know of Jack?
He's a liar, a cheat, and a gambler.
I take it you did not get along.
Hardly, Mr. Holmes. He saw me as a threat to his livelihood. He wastes his allowance on the clubs and expects Amelia to give him more. She gives him enough to live well on, but he gambles it all away. Why, he even asked me to lend him money. Can you imagine? I have nothing of my own. And if I did, I certainly wouldn't throw it away on him.
When did he ask you this?
On our way here. We rode together, and he said he was in a pinch and needed it now. He wanted me to ask Amelia for the money. And then, once we arrived, he went to the bar to bring us drinks, and then he disappeared. He couldn't have wanted it that badly, I suppose.
That is very interesting. He said you were together.
We most certainly were not.
What time did you arrive?
A little after 5. And Jack was gone before I could even take off my wrap. I didn't see him again until the toast.
And where were you for the ensuing hour?
I was so nervous to be left on my own that I spent the rest of the party hiding in the powder room until it was time for the toast.
And why is that?
I may not care that Amelia is twice my age, but I am smart enough to know that other people do. They thought that she was my meal ticket. I couldn't stand just sitting there, watching them look at me and whisper to each other.
And what happens to you now?
What do you mean?
Your fiancé has been killed, Miss Vaines. Despite any affection the two of you shared, still, she was your meal ticket, wasn't she?
How dare you?
I must consider all possibilities, even the unpleasant ones.
And why would I kill her? You tell me that. It doesn't make any sense. If I was angling for her money, surely I would have waited until after our wedding, wouldn't I? Do you know who benefits now? Jack. He's your murderer.
Thank you, Miss Vaines. And once again, I am sorry for your loss. You may wait outside. We have learned a lot already, Watson. This investigation is moving along. We may just be able to solve the crime before Scotland Yard arrives.
I am confident that we can.
Watson, are you indulging in a whiskey and soda?
I am, but Holmes, I can explain.
No need, Watson. I already know the reason. And because it is in service of our investigation, I applaud your problem-solving.
But how did you know
that... I could not help but notice that your staff interviews omitted a very important person. You interviewed the caterer, the cook, and the server. However, you neglected to interview the bartender.
The bartender was busy. He said he only spoke to customers.
And so you ordered a whiskey and soda.
In the service of the investigation?
Did the bartender have anything pertinent to add?
As a matter of fact, he did. Early on in the evening, a rather burly gentleman visited him at the bar and requested only a cocktail napkin. Upon receiving it, he scrawled the message, "Meet me at 5:30," and placed it on the bar where it could be seen by anyone who ordered a drink. He threatened the bartender with bodily harm if he should remove it.
And do you have this napkin, so that I may pass it on to our guests for examination?
I do not, Sherlock. The bartender was not about to allow anyone to remove it, even now. I take it the threat was very explicit, but I examined the napkin closely, and the message was the only distinguishing mark.
Very good, Watson. I trust that you are correct. I'd like to get on with the investigation, if I may. It is time I interview our final suspect, Mrs. Samantha Blackwell. I have a few questions that I need to ask you, Mrs. Blackwell.
I supposed as much.
You were Miss Waterstone's business partner.
Were being the operative word. You were here tonight. She was going to cut me out of the business.
So you admit that you had a motive to do away with your partner?
Hardly. The news was as much of a shock to me as it was to you. Imagine announcing such a thing in front of a room full of people.
So you claim that you did not know in advance what was on Miss Waterstone's mind.
Does that shatter your theory, Detective?
Hardly. Tell me about this new invention.
It's not an invention. It is an innovation. It is a particularly complex chemical compound. At a basic level, the formula is lethal. However, Amelia discovered that with a few additions and changes to the chemical makeup, she had something that was miraculous. This formula will save lives, Mr. Holmes. Once developed, it will speed up recovery time from illness threefold. Mortality rates will drop. Life expectancies will expand. It is a remarkable discovery, to say the least.
Have you tested it yourself?
I am a responsible chemist. Of course I have run tests.
Where did you study?
Oxford. I was the first lady chemist to graduate there.
A remarkable accomplishment.
Thank you.
May I see the formula?
You assume that I carry it on me.
I assume nothing. But I have reason to think that you might have removed it from the lab and brought it with you here tonight.
Very well. Here it is.
Remarkable. Will Miss Waterstone's death mean the end for this breakthrough?
Hardly. But there will be delay. Until all of our experiments are complete, the patent is still forthcoming. There have been difficulties there. There have been other claimants to the formula, but that is not uncommon with these types of things. However, in this case, it may require some special finesse. Without Amelia to bully the patent through, it will take more time. But there is a responsibility to science and progress that must be seen through to the end, Mr. Holmes. And I will ensure that it does.
Assuming that her nephew inherits the business, will you be able to work with him to bring the work forward?
Work with him? Poppycock! Jack Waterstone is an idiot. Amelia tried to tutor him in the laboratory, but he has no head for science and no interest in anything but a quick score. He was expelled from his university for starting an underground gambling club and bankrupting the dean's son. The fellow is a cad. My best hope is that he'll sell the company to me outright for some quick cash.
Where were you at 5:30?
I was here, mingling with the guests.
Were you downstairs in the kitchen at all?
Early in the evening, to provide instructions to the staff. But after the party started at 5, I returned up here, in the role of hostess.
Is there anyone that could vouch for you?
Everyone and no one. I spoke briefly to all and moved freely about the room.
You were in charge of preparations for the evening. You put in the drink order.
That is not as significant as you may think, Mr. Holmes. Amelia ordered a Kir Royale, a very of-the-moment drink in Paris, I believe, and her favourite. She drinks it often, and I remind you, I had no motive to do away with my partner.
Just being thorough. As a scientist, I am sure that you can appreciate that.
Indeed. And if you are finished, I would like the formula back.
I'll be holding on to this for just a little bit longer, Mrs. Blackwell. I have a feeling that it is an important piece of evidence. Watson, I have learned much.
Do you know who the killer is?
I have my suspicions, and I soon hope to have proof. I have finished my chemical analysis of the poison found in Miss Waterstone's glass. I have diagrammed it here.
This is a very complicated compound, Sherlock.
Indeed. It is quite unlike anything I have encountered before. That is, until Mrs. Blackwell showed me this.
These formulas are remarkably similar.
My thoughts exactly, Watson. I must now turn to our party guests. I implore you, let us all examine both formulae and see if they can illuminate the identity of our killer.
These are the final pieces of evidence that you will receive. By comparing these with what you've seen and heard so far, I feel confident that you shall be able to solve this mystery. Additionally, you may even find a clue to the identity of the killer. When you have made your conclusions, we will compare your findings with those of Sherlock Holmes. And now, please open evidence C.
False persona.
What's that, Sherlock?
Just a message that I've identified in these formula.
Does it mean anything?
I believe it is the key to this entire mystery. Time is of the utmost. It is imperative that we solve this crime at once. Let's take each suspect one at a time. We'll start with Jack.
He has the strongest motive. If his aunt dies before she marries Celia, he'll stand to inherit.
But does he have opportunity?
Drat! He has an alibi. He said he was with Celia when the crime was committed.
Yes. And Celia had something different to say.
And then, once we arrived, he went to the bar to bring us drinks, and then he disappeared.
What do you think of that, Watson?
That's right. And when I interviewed the server, he said Jack was hanging around in the back alley, right outside the room where the drinks were being prepared. Motive and opportunity. He must be the man.
Too hasty, Watson. We must look at all of the evidence. Jack lied about his alibi because he had something else to hide. If Jack went to the bar and immediately left, then the note on the cocktail napkin was likely meant for him.
But who was he meeting at 5:30? Was it his aunt?
We know Jack is a gambler and likely in debt.
Why, he even asked me to lend him money. Can you imagine? I have nothing of my own. And if I did, I certainly wouldn't throw it away on him.
When did he ask you this?
On our way here. We rode together, and he said he was in a pinch and needed it now.
Remember the large man seen by both the cook and the bartender? I believe he was sent by Jack's bookie. Jack's alibi is that he was getting shaken down at the time of the murder. He had motive, but he did not have the opportunity. Besides, we know that Jack was an idiot when it comes to chemistry, and the chemical compound used to poison Miss Waterstone is very complex.
Jack Waterstone is an idiot. Amelia tried to tutor him in the laboratory, but he has no head for science.
So our poisoner could not have been Jack.
But Mrs. Blackwell, of course. She is a brilliant chemist with a degree from Oxford.
That's right. From Oxford. That's a very important point, Watson.
She had the opportunity. She was mingling with the guests and could have slipped away at any moment.
That's correct.
Oh, drat! She has no motive. She did not know that Miss Waterstone planned to cut her out until the announcement.
Samantha Blackwell lied to us, Watson. She was not surprised by the announcement. She knew that Miss Waterstone was cutting her out of the company before the toast. Samantha Blackwell was the person the caterer heard talking to Miss Waterstone earlier. We can recognize her because of her repeated use of this word.
Poppycock.
Poppycock.
So, she had a motive after all.
I'm afraid she still does not.
I don't understand.
Samantha Blackwell was passionate about the difference this formula would make, and she knew that she needed Miss Waterstone to push the patent through.
There have been other claimants to the formula, but that is not uncommon with these types of things. However, in this case, it may require some special finesse. Without Amelia to bully the patent through, it will take more time.
She knew there was something not quite right about the patent. I believe that Samantha Blackwell was planning to use that knowledge to blackmail Miss Waterstone into keeping her on, not to murder her.
Do you think Miss Waterstone stole the formula?
Undoubtedly.
From Samantha Blackwell?
No. Remember, Watson, Mrs. Blackwell attended Oxford. This formula bears the Cambridge crest.
I'm afraid I'm not following, Holmes. Surely Jack couldn't have...
And so we come to Miss Celia Vaines. Something she said in our interview didn't add up.
I remember the first time I saw her. She was looking sternly around the cafe. Her hat perched at an impossibly unfashionable angle on her head. Her gloves covered in soot, and her hair escaping the long braid that hung over her shoulder just like a schoolgirl.
But her nephew said this.
About a year ago, my aunt got some bee in her bonnet and snapped. She cut her hair short, learned how to dance the foxtrot, and spent the summer frequenting cafes in Paris at her age.
If Miss Vaines remembers Miss Waterstone with long hair, she must have met her sometime before Paris. Also, Miss Vaines claims to be an educated woman.
I might not have graduated from university, but I did attend for a time.
I believe Miss Vaines studied at Cambridge and was a student in one of Miss Waterstone's chemistry classes. The paper this formula is written on not only bears the Cambridge crest, it has two names on it, that of Miss Waterstone and one Alice Evans. But it is common for a student to put both their own name and that of their professor when they are turning in an assignment.
An assignment, Holmes. Brilliant! But who is Alice Evans?
Rearrange the letters of Alice Evans, and what do you get?
Celia Vaines. It's an anagram.
Very good, Watson.
But, Holmes, it won't work. Miss Vaines has an alibi. She was in the powder room the entire first half of the party.
The entire time, Watson?
The caterer! The caterer left the drinks unattended at 5:30 to use the powder room, and she passed Miss Vaines on her way there. Celia Vaines was most assuredly not in the powder room at the time the drinks were poisoned.
Well done, Watson. Miss Evans was a remarkable student who created a formula that would change the face of science, and Miss Waterstone stole it. She tried to contest the patent, but legal fees are expensive, and the Waterstone name and money would bully their way to success eventually. And so instead, Miss Evans took her revenge. She changed her name, earned the trust of her former professor, and waited until Miss Waterstone's most triumphant moment to strike. An ingenious crime, and an ingenious woman.
And not a moment too soon. That's Scotland Yard. Congrats, Holmes. You have solved the mystery in time.
And I couldn't have done it without the close observation and quick thinking of everyone here. My fellow detectives, it is your powers of observation, keen listening, and quick thinking that have propelled us to a successful denouement. Well done to one and all.
Cheers to that, Holmes.